fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm here again today with my good friend and mentor, collaborator in the work of the Lord, Ralph Martin. He's been here since Monday, and if you haven't a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at Renewal Ministries. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right there on your computer or download them, listen to them on your iPod when it's convenient. But there's also lots of other great stuff. There's Sister Ann Shields' program, Food for the Journey. There's The Choices We Face, our television program from EWTN, Crossing the Goal, and lots of really good free stuff, good stuff that'll help build up your heart and mind. It'll help you move ahead in the Lord. Some of our newsletters and discussion and pictures of the work we're doing evangelistically around the world. And good products that you can purchase that'll really help you and help your family grow in the Lord and be clear-minded about the very things that we've been talking about this week, which is really talking about the reality of sin, salvation, talk about some other topics as we get into it. But today, what I'd like to talk about more directly, Ralph, is the really what is sin and what sort of the anatomy of sin, the nature of sin, and why is it such a big deal?
Sin at its heart is a big, ugly no to love. A big, ugly no to God. And we can barely comprehend the wickedness of that, to say no to our Creator, to say no to our Maker, to say no to the one who brought us into existence, to say no to the one who gave us our bodies and our minds and our souls and our spirits, to say no to the one who lets his rain fall on the just and the unjust, to say no to the one who has showered us with love and protection ways way beyond we've ever even noticed. It's really wicked to say no to him. And so that's the root of sin. And it's the root of the original sin that plunged us all into the situation we find ourselves in. And we know that through baptism, the guilt of this sin is taken away from us. The guilt is forgiven. But we still have the wounds of that big no that we inherited from our those who represented us in that first awesome choice that got made. We still have the wounds of sin. We still have what the Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about, a darkness of mind and a weakness of will and concupiscence. We long for and desire things in a disordered way, in an unproportionate way, in a wrong way. Sometimes we desire the wrong things or we desire them inordinately. And so that's there too. And usually because of those things, because of those wounds, we say our own ugly no's to God. We say ugly no's to love. We say our own ungrateful no's to the one who has showered us with blessing. So, besides the state of sin and the root of sin, we have particular sins. And now this is important to talk about because today people are very unclear about what the wickedness of sin, but they're also very clear about specific sins. People have heard many years of, well, God isn't so concerned about these little personal decisions we make in our lives, these petty little decisions. He's concerned about the big issues of war and peace and social justice. He's concerned about the environment. And that's true. He's concerned about the big issues for sure, but all those big issues are rooted in individual hearts and individual minds and wills that make decisions to war, to hate, to unforgive, to pollute, you know? And so it comes down to individual choices that people make that then create big social wickednesses. Now, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul says, "Don't let anybody deceive you, no matter what." And this is an area where deception is really prevalent. Our culture is full of lies that say that what Scripture talks about is sin, no big deal. It is a big deal. Listen to what St. Paul says. Listen to what the inspired Word of God says. Don't let anybody deceive you, no matter how, because the immoral will not enter the kingdom of God. Whoa. I mean, that's kind of in your face, isn't it, Peter? Yeah. That's kind of like, whoa, you know, what don't I understand about that? Well, in case there's any risk of misunderstanding, Paul goes on to give us a whole list of the immorality, which unless we repent from, will exclude us from the kingdom of God. So this is serious stuff. The fornicator, the adulterer, the idolater, the person who engages in homosexual activity, the thief, the robber, the drunkard, and so on and so forth, will not enter the kingdom of God. Now, this is pretty serious stuff, because these activities are viewed as, well, everybody does it, you know, wake up, you know, we're in a new age now, you know, that's old-fashioned morality. It's not old-fashioned morality, it's gospel truth about what will exclude us from the kingdom of God unless we repent. And this is not an isolated text. Take a look at Galatians chapter 5, similar list. We will not enter the kingdom of God if we do these things. Take a look at Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5, similar list. We will not enter the kingdom of God if we do these things. Take a look at Revelation chapter 20 and 21. People who do these things and don't repent will be thrown into the lake of fire and experience second death. That condemnation that we were talking about yesterday, that John's gospel talks about. So this is pretty serious stuff.
Isn't this just like symbolic language, Ralph? You know, the lake of fire and all that kind of stuff that, you know what I mean?
The lake of fire is symbolic. Fornication and adultery aren't.
Yeah.
The lake of fire is symbolic of the final ruin, of the perishing that John 3:16 talks about, of the condemnation that John 3:17 and 18 and 19 talk about. It's a symbol of something that can hardly be described, because the horror of being eternally separated from God, locked in the embrace of the demonic because we've freely chosen it and in our pride refused to repent before we died, is pretty horrible. And so that's what these images are about.
Yeah, and the clarity of mind that the saints had about the seriousness of sin is what caused them, as I was reading from the life of Francis on Monday, you know, Bonaventure said, you know, that he would weep when he would see people baptized and people just living in sin, and he would pray for them. He'd preach the gospel to them. And Bonaventure said he was energetic in prayer and preaching precisely because he understood what was happening, what was literally hanging in the balance.
He believed 1 Corinthians 6. Yeah, he believed Galatians 5. He believed Revelation 20, 21. He believed Ephesians 5. He believed the Word of God. Yeah. It burned in his bones. Zeal for his Father's house consumed him.
Yeah.
And it should us, too.
Amen. Instead of the dull kind of lukewarmness and kind of laissez-faire attitude, you know, God knows. And I mean, you see signs of it, how few people go to confession, for example. It's just they're not grasping the reality of sin's power. It's like there's a presumption that is operating, or an indifference, or whatever it is, which is the spirit of the age. It's just kind of a presumption
lulling
and indifference. And
lulling us to sleep, putting us onto the broad way that leads to destruction, kind of making us feel uncomfortable about the narrow way that leads to life, you know?
Just thinking of the passage in Mark chapter 7, they're asking Jesus if certain foods make you unclean, that whole question. And Jesus said, it's not what comes from outside a man that defiles him, but it's what comes from within. And then the one who knows the human heart, the one who knows this perfectly, said, from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man.
Yeah, that's strong stuff there, too. And Jesus says, you know, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but every part of my word is going to come to pass. This is our attitude towards God's word is really important here to what's being revealed to us. And a lot of Catholics have gotten really confused about how we're supposed to take sacred scripture. And I'd just like to quote one thing from Vatican II that talks about how we're supposed to take sacred scripture. It's on the Constitution of Sacred Revelation, section 11. It says, everything asserted by the sacred authors should be considered to be asserted by the Holy Spirit of God, and to teach faithfully, firmly, and without error, those truths which God wished to consign to sacred writings for the sake of our salvation. These verses we're reading, Peter, are for the sake of our salvation, and they're teaching firmly, faithfully, and without error, those truths which God wished to consign to the sacred writings for the sake of our salvation. And you'll find these same truths taught today in Vatican II and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. People have somehow gotten into their mind, well, with modern scripture scholarships, we don't really have to take these things seriously. And modern scripture scholarship has things to contribute, of course, in understanding scripture. But like Mark Twain said, it isn't those texts of scripture that are really hard to figure out that most trouble me. It's those texts of scripture that are so clear that most trouble me. And we're talking about some of the clearest assertions of scripture here. Okay, maybe you don't understand the beast in the book of Revelation, but hey, do you understand adultery and fornication and lying and cheating and stealing and murdering and not forgiving? Yeah, I think you do. And we need to repent from those things in order to be saved.
Right, and the religious leaders at the time, in posing the question to Jesus, in part, are saying, okay, defilement's an issue. Well, how does man defile himself? Because we don't want to be defiled. We don't want to offend God. And Jesus said, well, here's what offends God. This is what defiles a man. And then he diagnoses the human heart. It's like he opens up the human heart with his word. He said, this is in the human heart. This is what I have come to deal with. And the heart is what? When the Bible uses the word heart, what's the Bible really talking about
there? The core of our personality, us. It's talking about us.
So at the core of our personality, like the Catechism says, something died in us when the first sin happened. And trust for God died in us. And the kind of relationship and a God-directed heart that we were meant to have died in us. And that's the battle. It goes into the core of us. And I think today, lots of people are like, well, look, I'm a really good person. Why wouldn't God just accept me as I am? I mean, I'm a really good person. I don't go around hurting people and the rest of it. And it often doesn't reveal, it doesn't communicate an understanding of how each and every one of us at the core of our being resist God in some way and have a secret rancor against God and God's plan and purpose and his will exercised over us.
And it's good to make clear, Peter, that even after we repent, and even after we're living a righteous life, even after we're not giving into fornication or adultery or lying or cheating or stealing or greed or whatever it is, we'll still have the disordered desires to some extent. We'll still have the temptation. We'll still have the inclinations. So people shouldn't expect not to be tempted.
Right.
But people should expect that what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to be true, that God will not let us be tempted beyond our strength, but along with the test or temptation, he'll give us the grace to endure it or he'll get us out of it. So we need to recognize that repentance from the actions is important and then learning how to resist the temptation that still is there because of the wounds of original sin.
Yeah, it's very good. I was mentioning to you this passage, Lumen Gentium, a document from the Second Vatican Council, talking about what Jesus has given to us. It's a beautiful passage that says this, now Christ has communicated his royal power to his disciples, that they might be constituted in royal freedom, and that by that freedom, through true penance and a holy life, they might conquer the reign of sin in themselves. So this is we're in a battle against sin, aren't we? And Paul, Romans chapter 6, says, do not let sin have dominion over your life anymore, because he knows you've been given royal power, the power of the king, to be able to overcome sin step by step by step in your life. Right?
Yeah, right. And sometimes, honestly, Peter, when people hear about what serious sin is, they say, gee, I didn't know that was seriously sinful. I don't want to do that anymore. And they're given the grace to stop doing everything there. Other times, people have kind of become slaves to sin, and so it can be a long, painful process like it was for St. Augustine. But if people want to get free from sin, if they're willing to fight the spiritual battle, they will get free. Yeah. And there's so much more we could say about how people can get free and everything like that. But the key thing is to say, Lord, I accept your word. I'm convicted of sin. Things I've been doing aren't right. I don't want to do those things anymore. I want to repent. Give me the grace. Help me to change. Help me to turn.
That's good.
Help me to fight the good battle.
That's so good. And Lord, we ask right now, we just pray together that for every one of our friends and for those who are listening could hear this word, would penetrate their hearts, would be able to say yes to your diagnosis of their heart, mine, Ralph's, and to be able to follow you, to believe, to repent, and to receive your grace to live a new way of life for the glory of your name and for the freedom that you desire to give them. Bless you, friends. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.